I'd like you to take the Word of God and turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy chapter number 4 tonight as we stand in honor of God's Word, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Begin reading in verse number 12. Paul, of course, writing to Timothy, and he says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Now, I want you to take note of what the Bible says in verse 16, where Paul says, "Take heed unto thyself." And I want to preach on that thought tonight using these verses of Scripture. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, tonight that you'd meet every need in this place. Lord, you'd speak to us through the Spirit of God and through the Scriptures that you've given to us. And help me as I stand to preach, Lord, to say exactly what needs to be said. These next few moments that we have together, may it be blessed by thee. Strengthen our heart and our lives and our souls, Lord, with all that you have for us. And may we ever go forward following after thee. I need you tonight, Lord. I can't do this without thee. Please help me. I pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. As Paul continues this letter that we've been looking at for quite some time, he continues this letter to Timothy. He now exhorts him about his personal life. If we were to go back and to begin at the very beginning, we'll remember that he's instructed Timothy about so many things concerning the church. Chapter number 1, he dealt with doctrine and declaring the truth and the defense. And then chapter 2, he dealt with prayer and then men in the church and the women in the church. And chapter 3, he dealt with the office of the pastor, the office of the deacons, and then the behavior of the church as a whole. And here in chapter number 4, Paul writes to Timothy and he says that there are some things that Timothy needs to be putting the brethren in remembrance of. And then last week we talked about how that there was a need to practice what we preach, and how that Timothy needed to practice what he was preaching. But now we find that through all this, that Paul's getting very personal with Timothy. And he realizes that Timothy needs to take heed unto himself. He's writing to Timothy, who's his son in the faith, and he says to Timothy, "Take heed unto thyself." If Timothy is going to have an impact, if Timothy is going to have an influence on others, it's going to be necessary. He has to pay attention to what's going on in his own life. If he's going to make a difference in the lives of those around him, he has to take heed unto himself. And there are several things that Paul draws attention to for Timothy to take heed unto. And I'll look at those things tonight. First of all, he tells him to take heed unto his actions. His actions. Here in verse number 12, the Bible says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." And we've already discussed those things. Last week we looked at those as we went down the line. We've discussed those things that Paul tells Timothy that he is to be an example of believers in. But we realize that these actions must be a part of Timothy's life. If he's going to gain influence, or if he's going to have influence over others. He says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example." And we talked a little bit about it last week, how apparently Timothy was concerned with what people thought of him because of his age. He was a younger man. Of course, he was quite a bit younger than Paul, and he was afraid. And Paul was saying that your actions can overcome your age. Your actions can prove that you're further along in your life for the Lord than what your age may say. Many people's actions hurt them, don't they? You know, sometimes people will say something like that, well, they're just a big kid. But Paul's telling Timothy, you don't need to be acting like a big kid. You need to be an example of these things. When Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, this is what he had to say. He said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And so Paul was telling Timothy the same thing here. If you'll have the right kind of actions, you won't have to worry about your age. A lot of people need to grow up, right? When Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, that's exactly what he was saying. He was saying it's time for y'all to grow up. It's time for y'all to be further along than what you are. And Paul says if you have these actions, these things, being an example of the believers in these things, then you won't have to worry about your age. You may be young for what they would be used to. But your actions can overcome your age. And that's what he's saying. So take heed unto your actions. And then take heed unto your attention. The Bible goes on and says, verse number 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. These are the three things here that are vital to give attendance or to give attention to. He says to give attention to reading or attendance to reading. And this deals with Timothy being somebody that studies the Word of God. His private study in preparation for the public meeting. He's to go before the people. He's going to preach the message. And when he comes before, he ought to be well read and well versed about what he's preaching about. Paul desires to come to Ephesus. He says, until I come. Now, he may or may not get to come, but he tells Timothy, whatever happens, whether I come or not, you're to be a student of the Word of God, and you're to read what it is that you have. You know, it's not just about reading just the Bible. You can read other things too. I'm sure that Paul was a great student of writings. I imagine Paul wrote many more things than that what we have in our Bible. Paul read the books of the law and the writings of others. He was well taught. He was well read. And he may not be there to instruct Timothy in everything, but Timothy is to give attention to reading. He's to be a reader. You know, I think that's what we're lacking in our society today, isn't it? Well, I think we've got a generation coming up, and it's going to be a pretty poor generation in the fact that you know, it's not about reading anymore. If you can't listen to it, then forget about it, you know? If you can't watch it and see it, then forget about it. We need to raise another generation of readers. People that'll read, that'll not only get in the book, but will read things. And I think we need that. I think we're going to have a lost generation. This generation may already be a lost generation in the sense of we've lost so much. The great history of our country is a lost thing. Because people quit reading, and now we're indoctrinating them with things that aren't even true anymore. People are missing out on so many wonderful things. And I think we need to give attention to reading. And especially Paul's writing to Timothy says, if you're going to be a preacher, and if you're going to instruct people, and you're going to witness to others, and you're going to talk to others about the Lord and about certain things, then you need to give much attendance to reading. The media has taken the place of the message in many churches today. People won't come to church if they have to carry a Bible in their hand. It has to be on a screen, you know. And I'm thinking I'd rather have a Bible in my hand anytime, wouldn't you? Some people says you're just out of touch with reality. Well, call it whatever you want to. But there's something about holding this precious book in my hand. Give attendance to reading. Give attendance to exhortation. As Timothy learns things from the reading of the Scriptures and the Spirit of God, as the Spirit of God speaks to him, and even reading the books of other men. And by the way, you know, before I preach, I've read the Bible. I've read books by people I trust. I've even read books by people that I'm not sure that I trust. It's try to get a better understanding of things. Then when I come, I want to come and exhort you with what God has to say. And that's what Paul's telling Timothy. As Timothy learns from these readings, he's to exhort, he's to encourage others with the knowledge that he's attained from the reading. You know, I remember years ago, listening to somebody who had a specialty. He worked on a machine, and he's the only one that ever worked on that machine. That machine was very important to a process. If that machine didn't run, then the process was down. But he thought he would be wise and say, I'm going to be sure that I keep my job safe. And in keeping his job safe, he wouldn't tell anybody else how to operate that machine. When he's no longer able to operate that machine, they had to shut the whole process down. That's a sad thing, isn't it? Are we not seeing the same thing happen in our churches today? We're seeing churches where truth's not being given because we don't want to tell everything we've learned or share with others what God has given us. Can I give you a secret? When God gives you something, He gives it to you to give to others. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And as God reveals things to, Paul says, as the Lord reveals things, Timothy, take and reveal those things to others because they need to reveal it to the next generation who's going to need to reveal it to the next generation who's going to need to reveal it to the next generation. And we need more of that today. We need a revival of old-time religion, but the only way that's going to happen is people are going to have to get back in the book. By the way, it's not just the preacher's job, it's every believer's job. And then it says not only to give attendance to reading, to exhortation, it says to doctrine. And there's that all-important word. Our beliefs and our teachings are our doctrines. There's no doubt that Paul understands the importance of doctrine. And it determines who you are and it determines how you live. So Timothy is to study in private what he was going to read in public. And in doing so, he's going to exhort others in sound doctrine. We need sound doctrine today, don't we? Take heed unto thyself. Take heed unto thyself in your actions. Take heed unto thyself with your attention. Take heed unto thyself, thirdly, in accountability. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Ultimately, Timothy, as well as all of us, are accountable to God. Every one of us will stand before a holy God. We'll give an account of ourselves. The Bible says in Romans 14, 12, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And so Paul was saying, Timothy, I want you to understand there's some accountability here. And you need to take heed unto yourself because of this accountability. He says, neglect not the gift that is in thee. And we've already spoken about this, but every believer has at least one gift that God has given to us. And we're accountable for how we use that one gift or as many gifts as God has given to us. There's an accountability. We need to take heed unto these things. We need to recognize these things. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. And Paul would encourage us tonight to understand this accountability. You may not have the gift that somebody else has, but you have a gift from God. And we're accountable for that gift. It could even be the gift of kindness. It could be the gift of prophecy, and that's forthtelling, not foretelling. You can't see the future. But it's seeing what the Bible says. That's prophecy. Forthtelling. It could be many, many other gifts. It could be a gift of giving. God may bless you with something and you're able to take what God's blessed you with and give it to others, maybe financially. But God gives all of us gifts. And then it goes on and says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy. Given thee by prophecy. See, God had revealed to Paul that Timothy had a special calling on his life. And this is something that Timothy needed to understand. This was given thee by prophecy. You've got a special calling on your life. And then he goes on and says, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. And the presbytery, of course, were the elders in the church that recognized the hand of God on Timothy's life. And when Timothy was ordained, they laid their hands on him. And in other words, they approved of that ministry. They approved of the call that Timothy said that God had placed on his life. And they said, we agree with this call. And Paul wanted to remind Timothy that he was accountable to those who laid hands on him and gave their approval of him. I was ordained into the gospel ministry many years ago. And when I was ordained in the ministry, there was a group of men that come around and asked me questions that knew my life. And they asked me questions and they stood me before the church and asked more questions. And it came down to the time when they finished with their questions and answer sessions that they had to say, we either approve or disapprove. And in their approval they come and they came and they laid their hands on me as a sign that they were approving me, and they placed in my ear some words of wisdom and words of encouragement and had things to say to me. Ultimately, we're all accountable to God. We understand that. So my first accountability and Timothy's first accountability was to God. But then he's also accountable to the elders, to the presbytery that said, we approve of this fellow and we're going to send him out into the ministry. And then to the church. There's accountability to the church. Timothy was accountable to the church at Ephesus to give them the truth. And Paul's saying to Timothy, take heed unto yourself and be accountable unto this accountability. So take heed of thyself and your actions and your attention and your accountability. The fourth thing we see is to take heed to himself in appearance. Not in how he looks this way, but we'll discuss this and hopefully you'll get a better understanding of it. Meditate, the Bible says in verse 15, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them that thy profiting may appear to all. So in this verse, Paul's telling Timothy to meditate on these things. All these instructions that Paul has given, Timothy needs to ponder upon them, to think upon them, and to grow in them. And as he meditates on these things, he's to give himself wholly to them, the Bible says. That means you get wrapped up in them. That means to be in them. These are to be a part of his life. These things become part of the fabric of his life. And when that takes place, there's great profit, the Bible says. And this profit means growth. It means you advance. It means you progress. And in other words, Timothy's moving forward. And the Bible says that thy profiting may appear to all. His appearance to others is, this guy is growing in the Lord. You don't have to worry about your age, Timothy, because you're proving yourself. That it's all right for you to be the pastor here. It's all right for you to go forward. It's all right for you to be teaching these things. Everyone can see spiritual growth in your life, Timothy, if you'll take heed to these things. If you'll meditate on these things and give yourself, put yourself into them, your profiting would appear to all. And then he says, take heed unto thy aim. Notice what the Bible says in verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, here's the reason of it all. This is the aim of everything. The aim of all this, taking heed unto thyself, is so that he and the church will continue in sound doctrine. There was the problem of false teachers and preachers coming in. You remember what Paul said, and we've already discussed this. He says, I'm going to leave, and when I do, there's going to be some wolves in sheep clothing going to come in. He's going to try to destroy the church. Going to try to destroy everything. This church here at Ephesus, and Paul warned the elders back in the book of Acts. And here he says, if you'll take heed unto these things, in doing so, you'll save both yourself and them that hear you. If we were to go back in the very beginning of this chapter, where it begins, the Bible says that there were many that were departing from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Paul is saying, if you'll do the right thing, you can save yourself from going the wrong way, and you can save the church from going the wrong way. It's very important, very vital. Paul says to Timothy that he could save himself and them that hear him if he would just take heed, continue reading and exhorting and teaching these doctrines. That's the aim of all of this. That's why he needs to take heed unto himself. That's why he needs to read. And as he gains knowledge, he needs to exhort and teach the doctrine. As he does that, he needs to understand that he has an accountability, yes, to the church, but also to those that lay their hands on him, but ultimately to God. And when he understands this accountability, there'll be an appearance of to everybody when they listen to what he has to say and they see the spirit in which he says it and they understand the knowledge that he has gained, and there'll be an appearance to them that this man has what they need. The words of truth. And then, with all that being said, he'll hit the goal, the aim. The very reason of all of that is to save those that hear him and himself. It's not salvation in the matter of being saved from hell. It's being saved from straying, being saved from giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. How many people do you know tonight that were once in Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches, but they got lured away because of activities at another church, more social things than spiritual things? And they got lured away. And you got over there, and when they got over there, you begin to see they weren't so strong in their convictions any longer. They weren't so strong in the doctrine of the Word of God. They begin to say things like, well, you know, that's what they believe. And if that's what they believe, it's all right. We're all going to the same heaven. And they begin to discount the authority of God's Word. How many people do you know like that? I can't count them in my mind how many people I know that used to be a part of good Bible-believing churches that are now out and they're not strong in their convictions. They're not strong in their doctrine. They're not strong in their beliefs. Not whatsoever. Because they gave heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, they're going to the same heaven, but they need to be saved from what they're going through in this world simply because they're losing the rewards. They're losing what they're going to get to stand before God with. Because they're not giving their lives to the truth. Now God knows who those people are, and God knows what churches they belong to. I'm not up here to say anything about any other church or anything like that, but God knows. And we all know people like that. We're living in difficult times, very trying times. Satan and seducing spirits are all around us. And we too, we must take heed to ourselves and the doctrines of the Word of God. And we can't get taken in by the worldly vices and the worldly temptations. We must continue in the truth and telling others so that we and they could be saved from these false teachings. Saved so that we can continue the work that God has for us to do in our lives as individuals, corporately as a church. May God help us. May we learn from Paul's letter to Timothy to take heed unto ourselves. and to understand how important our actions are, to understand how important our attendance, our attention to things are, and our accountability and our appearance. People can see it in our aim, that we're hitting the mark. May God help us. Let's bow together. As we do, would you think of these things? Are you doing with your life what God wants you to do? Are you giving your life? Are you taking heed unto yourself? It's so very important for us to take this seriously. You don't have to be a preacher to tell others truth, to teach others doctrine. But in order to teach others these things, you must read the Word of God and allow the Word of God to impact your life. Study the Word of God. May the Lord help us. Father, tonight I pray that you'll help each of us to understand the need for us to take heed unto ourselves, to give ourselves fully to the work that you have for us. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. May we find ourselves faithful to thee. Now as we respond to your word, I pray that tonight we'll be obedient and we'll go forward following thee. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.